I guess while the spirit's at work, I'll let it continue. I guess the beginning of my message will be different than what I had anticipated. I had a little story that I was going to start, but it has been such... I have been blessed this morning. God has been moving. The Spirit is moving. And... I debated if I even want to share this. It seems, before I share it, I want everyone to always, always feel free to share. But I think 90% of the time, I get the floor at 20 after. And that's okay. It does put me on a little pressure, but as I said, I'm gonna be free today. There's blessed are the flexible, for they shall never get bent out of shape. So we're gonna be flexible. But my mind was just going from here and there this morning, as we were sharing about the boxes. And most of you know, I had a precious opportunity with my mom where I sat down with her on a Saturday and she opened her box and I prayed with her. And when we were done, she said, "The burden is gone." 2 days later, she passed away. So this stirs memories of hearing the boxes being opened. But don't wait 2 days before you pass away. You can have this freedom before then. But it's never too late to open your box. And I had always thought, you know, as mom and dad got older, thinking, you know, they could pass away, I thought the Bible kind of makes it simple where it the flower just fades away and it just, when it dies, and then you kind of forget it. But for me, it's not been that simple. It's that constant longing. To feel mom's heart by her words. But it's gone. So don't neglect your time with your mom. Don't neglect it. A wealthy businessman lay on his deathbed. His pastor came to visit and talked about God's healing power and prayed for him. When the pastor was done, the businessman said, "Preacher, if God heals me, I'll give the church $1 million. He was desperate. Well, miraculously, the businessman got better and within a few short weeks was out of the hospital. Several months later, the pastor bumped into this businessman on the sidewalk and said, "Do you know, when you were in the hospital dying, you promised to give the church $1 million if you got well. We have not received it as of yet." The businessman replied, "Did I say that? I guess that goes to show how sick I really was." How are we with our words? When it seems like it's an impossible, we may say some words that could come back and bite us. Before I go on, I want to welcome each one. Thanks for coming. It's good to have each one here. Today, we're continuing our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And today, we're going to look at the integrity of our heart. And Jesus is still building off of, Jesus still expounding maybe on his comment previous that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Because they like to swear on things. James brings that out. I don't have it in my notes, but James also speaks a little about that by the temple or even, I'll continue. Let's go to the scripture today. Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord. And by the way, some of this you really can't find in the Old Testament. It summers their own law that they had. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You see, the Pharisees had lacked integrity in their heart. The reason I say this is look at what Jesus told them in Matthew 12, verse 34 to 37. Brood of vipers. Now, you know, we say we're alive here, and I believe so, that we are a church that is alive. Oh, how do I want to word it, Lord? What would Jesus say if he'd come in here and he sees each one of our hearts? Would we be a brood of vipers? See, they were the religious people of the day. They were the right ones. And sometimes we may think we're the right ones. But we need to continually go into our hearts. And as I'll continue on through here, I'm going to get a little personal. And is my yes, yes, and my no, no? How true am I in my heart? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why we need to focus on the heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words matter. And there is life or death is in the power of the tongue. Those are strong words of Jesus. Either we'll be justified or we'll be condemned by our words. What am I speaking? And let's look at what in the general public, what the people, how is the heart today of people? Back in the 90s, that's a long time ago, back in the 90s, they took a survey of thousands of people. And look at this, how it came back. And do you think it's gotten worse or better since the 90s? 91% said they lie on a regular basis. 86% said they lied to their parents regularly. 75% said they lie to their friends. And 69% said they lied to their spouses. Not one is even under half of the people. There's more than half of the people. What is wrong with us people? And we may think it's the people in the world. It's not us Christians. Well, that's wrong. Doug Sherman and William Hendricks compared the ethics of Christians and non-Christian adults. They found that almost as many Christians steal from work as non-Christians. Almost as many Christians use company phones for personal long distance as non-Christians. And they found that Christians are just as likely to falsify their income taxes and commit plagiarism and give bribes to obtain a building permit and ignore construction specs and illegally copy computer programs and steal time from work and exaggerate our products and selectively obey the law. Is that our yes being yes and our no, no? This is from the Christians. When it comes to integrity, Christians aren't much different than the lost. God calls us to be different, a peculiar people, and meaning called out, set apart. It's not the black bumpers and the buggies and the no electric or whatever we may not have. That's not being the peculiar people. It's where the heart is different. We are set apart. My heart is set apart for God. That's where the integrity of the heart comes in. God must be there. That's the peculiar people. They will know us by our works, and meaning our lifestyle, how we are. They'll know us by our integrity, the character that we have. They'll see Jesus. We're partakers of the divine nature. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're to be a cut above. Morally different from the world. In personal and business lives, Christians are to be different from the world. Here's another kicker. A study by Barna Research found that 22% of adults in America believe there is even such a thing as absolute moral truth. I know we've shared some of this already. 22% of the adults. But the real kicker was what the study found related to those who profess to be born-again Christians. Among this specific group, only 32% of adults and only 9% of teenagers said they believe moral truth is unchanging or absolute. This is sad. This is supposed to be God's people. When God is truth. And how can we say that it's not absolute? How can I say that I am born again, set apart for God, and not believe that it's an absolute truth? Something is wrong. People are not being taught. And I want our younger children to understand it is true. It's not if I believe it, it's true, and if I don't, it's not. Whether I believe it or not, that does not change if it's truth or not. Truth is a truth, and the truth will set us free. You see, the reason that there are oaths or swearing in is because people lack integrity of the heart. That's why it's even here. Our words should be good enough that we'll never have to say, I guarantee it's so-and-so. That's from the evil, according to Jesus. I should live in such a way that when I say yes, it means yes. And sometimes, a lot of you know me, I like to have my fun too. But I'm wondering, does that cause sometimes that you have to wonder, is this yes, a yes, or not? If everyone's yes would really be yes, and everyone's no would really be no, really wouldn't be a need for swearing in oaths. That's why Jesus is saying, just swear not at all. You don't need to. Just let your yes be yes, and your no, no. But because of the lack of integrity, we have it. And it happened in Bible times. The Pharisees were bad in this. I've mentioned a little bit. They tried to find any and all loopholes they could to get by and continue in their hypocrisy. They thought that if they would swear by something sacred, that would make people believe that they're really saying how it is. That's what Jesus was bringing out on the heaven and earth. So, may I get now a little more personal? How about our baptism vows? Are we being faithful to the church of Jesus Christ? I don't mean being faithful in attending here. Are we faithful in building the kingdom of Jesus Christ, his church? Because we promised we would. We said yes. Do you promise? Yes. Is my yes, yes? Are we living up to our yes? Or how about our marriage vows? To love and to cherish till death do us part. You know, yeah, we stay together till death do us part. But are we loving and cherishing how we're supposed to be? Said, these two shall become one flesh. That is a priceless possession. Is my spouse, is your spouse, are they priceless? Are you cherishing them? Because you said yes. I do. Is our yes, yes? Or was it just to sound good? You know, back before the days of heart catheterizations and other modern means of testing, doctors relied primarily on the symptoms on the outside to kind of see what was going on with the heart. Likewise, one of the primary ways we can determine the spiritual condition of a person's heart is to examine the outward symptoms. And Jesus says, from the heart, the mouth speaks. So here are some questions. Do you lie? And children, little children, this is for you too. Do you lie? Because if we see what Jesus was saying earlier, that by our words we will be justified, we'll be praised, we'll get a high five if we have good words. But if we have bad words, if they're naughty words, or if we lie, then we get a spanking. Does that make sense? That your children understand it's always good to speak good things. And where we tell our brothers and sisters, good job. And that we don't lie if we've done something bad. Because later, Jesus will spank us for lying. Do you use profanity? If we do, what benefit is it? It's above yes or no. It's more than that. And some of this is even just going into our words. Are they life or death? Do you gossip? Do you slander others? We get up in testimony time, say we love each other. We love you all. But then later we hear of backbiting, gossiping, or slandering. Is that a yes being yes and a no being no? And if we say we love God and we have the love of God, how can I gossip about someone? Or how can I slander them? Or do we allow it in our home? If we do or allow these, it could be an indication that we lack the integrity of our heart, in our heart. We lack having a heart of integrity. Because when we're born again, we become partakers of the divine nature of God. And God is a God of love. And God, I think it says, cannot lie. God is truth. So always speak the truth. Paul said, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So in closing, I trust that the words of Jesus has made an impact in our heart. Let's keep our commitments. Let's be known for keeping our word. Let's be honest and morally upright. And let's allow God to give us a heart of integrity so that others may see us as men and women of integrity. That they would glorify God in heaven. That they may see and know that we have Jesus and that we spend time with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much how you have moved today. How your spirit has been moving and speaking to us. And Father, may it not be done in vain, but that it would now accomplish what you have sent it to accomplish. Shake us, Lord. Move us. Continue to cause us to go through the fire. I know the fire doesn't feel good. But keep us going in and keeping us in the fire till all the dross is burned away, till all of self is burned away. And that we could truly have this desire in our heart that, oh, to be like thee. As pure as you are. Help us to guard our heart that in return, it's actually guarding our mouth. That the words that our heart is so full of life, Father, that from you, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that we are so full of your life, that the words we speak are life. Continue to move us and to change us to be more like you. We trust you in this, Lord. This is your church. This is your work. And we just enter into it for your honor and for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.